Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast for Week 16 in the NFL. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trina, joined, as always, by my gambling partners, Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramley. Mitch, how's it going?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm good. Gary, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Recovering from last week, yeah.
Gary had the best bet week last week. I was 2-2. Gary, you were 4-1.
I was 4-1. And look, I've talked about this. I'm not a bad beats guy because it evens out in the end. You catch some breaks along the way. But we've been doing this for 10 weeks. I've had 5 1-loss weeks. I haven't had that undefeated week yet, and should have had it last week. It was that 49ers-Falcons final, but this one I'm angry about.
You should be angry about it.
But you're allowed to be angry.
Especially when you could have been 5-0.
Just watching it unfold, and then they do the review, and then it's like, oh, they're going to put a second back on the clock. And I was like, oh, come on. And then Mostert sails that throw, and I'm like, just get out of bounds. Safety is fine. I would have been fine on that under if it was a safety.
Hear you. Mitch,
you knew it was coming all along. I was 1-3. Tough week for me. Gary not only had the best week, he jumped me in the season standings. So I was looking down at you guys for a while. Now I'm looking up at Gary.
I'll say this to follow up on Gary. I tweeted this Sunday after the 4 o'clock games ended. That was a Sunday where if you're a gambler, you start rethinking things in a serious manner. Now, I also said, 40 minutes later, you will bet Steelers-Bills. But the Niners... Okay, so it started at 1 o'clock with Eagles-Redskins.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one came down to the final meaningless play, too.
So you had that ridiculous cover by the Eagles. And then I know for me, at 4 o'clock, I had the Raiders in a bunch of teasers. So all they had to do was win. And Derek Carr doesn't know how to slide out of bounds.
Basically. Well, or the rest don't know how to call it correctly. Right.
But why even make it that close? Like, he did head towards the sideline. Like, just dive down in the middle of the field. But yes, the refs did screw it up.
Yeah.
And then, as Gary pointed out, about 10 minutes after the Raiders choked away what should have been an easy win, the Niners get a cover that was just... What do you call it?
The total goes under.
Yeah. I mean, just incomprehensible the way that all went down.
And I'll say, I thought the worst cover of the day, mostly because this game was so lopsided, I stopped paying attention. And then it came in the end. It was like, what? The Panthers? It was a push some places,
right,
a cover
Seattle.
Some places.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a blowout.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you were on the wrong side of the Colts-Saints over, which the Saints put up enough points, you'd think you would have been fine.
Who knew the Colts decided not to play in that game, basically? I always find these weeks, I lay low, usually week 16, week 17, I lay low. I like to bet the playoffs. I usually do well in the NFL playoffs, which offsets my disaster in the college football bowls, but that's a whole other story. But I find week 16 and 17 really tough to bet, really tough. So hopefully we can help you out here as we go through the games. And it's interesting week. You have 3 Saturday games. 2 of them are great. 1 should be decent. Sunday's disgusting outside of Cowboys and Eagles. And, Monday night is obviously a doozy, and Sunday I'm sick of watching the Bears in prime time, but we'll get to all that when we do. So let's just get right into it. Saturday, first game on Saturday, 1 o'clock. Texans go into Tampa Bay to face the most enigmatic player in the league, Jameis Winston. The Texans, 3-point favorites after their win in Tennessee. Total, it's a big one because every Bucs game goes over, is 50. Gary.
Yeah, I like the Bucs here. I know I talked a couple weeks ago about Jameis's record at home during his tenure here with the Bucs, and it's not good. I just think they put up points against the Texans, and to be getting that field goal at home is I like the Bucs quite a bit here. You always put the disclaimer: Jameis could throw 8 interceptions. But I don't think the Texans can do that to him. I think they're just going to put up like 35 points, and then it just becomes a matter of, does Deshaun Watson really stand on his head again?
Mitch?
Yeah, talking about the interceptions, one of my favorite stats I heard all week was from Chris Wessling on one of the Around the NFL podcast, said that Jameis has thrown a first possession pick in 5 games this year.
A great stat.
And the Bucs are 4-1 in those 5 games, which is amazing. So credit to him for that stat, which I've then seen a bunch of other places, but unreal. I've liked the Texans all year, as I've said pretty much every week on this podcast. And I liked what I saw from them last week. it was a weird game where it felt like they were getting outplayed, and then but I like that they found a way to win. You know, it was basically for the division. I know things are still up in the air, but that was such a huge win for them against Tennessee. And sometimes, even when a game's close, it's like it's a good sign just to see a team figure it out in the fourth quarter and find a way to win a game like that. So I do like the Texans, but I'm with you. Every Bucks game goes over, and you guys know I pick a lot of sides for our best bets and rarely talk about the totals. I like the over 50 here. Doesn't every Bucks game go over 50? Like that, to me, and you know, against Houston and watching them, you know, I'd love to see Jameis and Deshaun Watson just matching each other shot for shot. Bucks are down another receiver. They last week played without Mike Evans, and I did say on this podcast, not a fantasy podcast, but I half in jest, half serious, told everyone to pick up Rashad Perriman, and then he did have three touchdowns last week. Now they've lost Chris Godwin, so I don't know who they're going to throw the ball to besides Perriman. I guess, you know, they have their tight ends down in Tampa. And they every 10 minutes I see they elevated a new guy from the practice squad. I see that news on Twitter. So I do like the Texans, but I feel stronger about the over, and I'm with the over 50 here. I think might actually be one of my best bets at the end of the pod.
I'm with Mitch on the over, even though, like he pointed out, the Bucks don't really have any receivers to throw to. I don't think it matters with Jameson. He's just going to chuck it. With Jameis, he's just going to chuck it. And listen, sometimes we overthink things. We overanalyze things. The Bucks games have gone over. It's like 10 of the last 11 or 11 of the last 12, so I'll just keep riding it. Houston has a good offense, so my lean there would be the over 50. Don't really have a lean on side. The next game on Saturday, it's a good one at 4:30. The Bills go into New England to face the Patriots. I do remember when they faced off earlier in the season in Buffalo. I bet the Bills. I thought they might win it out, and they played them really, really tough and should have won the game, but they there was turnovers, and the Patriot defense back then was playing great. So we'll see what happens now in Foxborough. Line here this morning when I took notes was 6.5. It is now 5.5. Patriots minus 5.5. So a lot of people on Buffalo. Total 37, Mitch.
Wow, you said this morning. I checked like half an hour ago, and it was 6.5.
No, it's 5.5 now.
So that game you're talking about from October, the big thing to remember, Josh Allen got hurt. And it was actually Matt Barkley leading the drive at the end of the game when they were trying to come back and win, and they still held him. It was a 6-point game. I love the Bills here. I think they can win this game outright. I picked them to win it outright in the MMQB's staff picks this week. And I'm not reading my notes where I wrote down, I'm surprised the spread is this high, and turns out it's now a point lower.
I'm just looking now. Let me correct it. It is 6.5.
Oh,
misspoke.
Really?
It is 6.5.
Okay.
Bad.
Well, then I will
so keep going
repeat
with your
myself.
Regular notes.
I'm surprised that the spread is this high.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a 6-point game back in October with Barkley at the end. I think the Bills are better since then. I think the Patriots are worse since then. Brady is clearly not the Tom Brady that we're used to seeing. I know everyone wants to say it's the end of his career. They want to blame his age. People want to blame his elbow injury. Whatever the reason is, I think it's clear that you know, he's not the guy we're used to seeing peaking this time of year. Edelman's banged up. We know all about their weapons and lack of weapons compared to previous years. They're early in the year, you know, they were getting saved by their defense, scoring touchdowns every single week, and that has stopped. I just think the Bills have not gotten enough respect all year. I am looking forward to that. You know, the Patriots are probably going to win the division anyway, because I think they just have to win week 17, even if they lose this. So the Bills are probably going to go on the road. I already look forward to picking them covering the spread on the road in wildcard weekend. But I just I like it here. I feel pretty strongly about it. And I'm definitely on Bills as long as it's still 6.5. Count me in for them.
Gary?
Yeah, no, I'm with Mitch on pretty much all of that. This was a borderline best bet for me. I think I'm going to back off of it ultimately. But if you're a compulsive type and watching the Saturday afternoon football game, go ahead and bet those Bills. I will say, you know, look, defense travels, run game travels. Bills are 6-1 straight up on the road, 6-0-1 against the spread on the road this year. And I did want to throw out the stat. This is the lowest total. I really wanted to find all totals in the Brady era, and I couldn't. All the places where I go for betting game logs have all the spreads, but I couldn't find anyone who has all the totals. I will say it's the lowest total for a Brady game in the last 5 seasons. The only time the Patriots have had a total this low was week 3 of the 2015 season, when their starting quarterback was
Jacoby Brissett.
And that game, that was a 38.5 total home against Houston. The game did go under, even though Jacoby Brissett put up 27 points, because Brock Osweiler put up 0.
Ah, Brock Osweiler. What a I can't think of the word. I was
fill in the blank.
I was going to say he's God's gift to underbetters is what I was going to say.
Well, except for those pick sixes.
Well, but they never scored.
Yeah,
you give up a bunch of them. I like the Bills, too, and it makes me very worried that all three of us are against the Patriots. So if I was someone listening to this, I'd bet the Patriots. But I do like the Bills. I just think 6.5 is high with the struggles that the Patriots have on offense. You know, I was locked into that game earlier in the season. Buffalo outplayed them in that game. And I think that's I think they got a little, you know, the motivation is big for this one. So I like getting those points in New England. And then Saturday night wraps up in San Francisco. The Niners giving 6.5 points to the Rams. The total is 45.5, Gary.
Yeah, I like the 49ers a lot here. They match up really well with the Rams. We saw them completely squash the Rams in L.A. earlier this season. Look, I'm not a big trap game believer. I don't think it is really that much of a thing in the NFL. But I do think it was a bit of a thing for the 49ers last week. When you look at that offense, the fact that they will run some gadget stuff, they'll do some misdirection stuff, it seemed like they were really keeping stuff in their back pocket last week. Because ultimately, I mean, look, it doesn't matter if they win that game. If they lose one of these last two, they probably fall out of the one spot anyway. So I think they held back a little bit as far as the game plan went, and now this is when their playoffs start. The Rams this week, and then they go to Seattle week 17. So I do like them to really just roll it up against a Rams team that they are completely capable of rolling it up against.
Mitch?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried about San Francisco. I think the injuries are a big thing. Just like trying to take the temperature and the vibe of that team. Like, you know, last week they were out like three different guys in the secondary, I think, and Dee Ford's injured, and we know they lost their center. It just feels like maybe that's a team that that peaked early. And I'm not saying that sometimes that's like people make too much of it, and it's like, well, they peaked early. Is that a problem? Can they sustain or whatever? I just mean like sometimes a team's just not playing well. And then again, we've seen other teams come out and have a bad December and still run through the playoffs as a wild card team, and maybe it means nothing. But I just, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that it doesn't really matter, because I think, like, of course it matters that, you know, they're sort of their playoff mode already started. Like, they played the Ravens, they played the Saints, they've had some big games lately. So it I guess if you're going to have a letdown game in that stretch, it's going to happen against Atlanta. But it felt like this was a team that, you know, I was feeling good about and felt like they were going in the right direction. And, you know, that was a little bit concerning, even though I know sometimes like a close game at the end on like some fluky plays, you know, you shouldn't make too much of that. The Rams, meanwhile, then, they really were just disappointing last week. That's a team, I think, looking at this a week ago, I would have said the Rams would cover this no problem. But they really, I mean, that loss was one of the more surprising games against Dallas. And now they, you know, they have a chance to make the playoffs, but it's going to be really hard. I think they have to win out and need Minnesota to lose out. I lean Rams. Just I think the Niners injuries are the thing that pushes me over the edge. This is not going to be a best bet, but I just think 6.5 points feels like a lot. And given what we've seen from San Francisco, you know, I know that they won that crazy game against the Saints, but they've had a few losses here and they're a little bit beat up. And I just think the Rams can keep it close.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this game. I was thinking San Francisco when I was looking at it earlier, because I do think their defense matches up well against the Rams. You know, the Rams want to do all the long stuff. They don't really go short. And I think with the Niners pass rush, that's going to be a tough day for Jared Goff. But I feel like 6.5 is high. Mitch mentioned it. I'm also a little worried about the Rams, the Niners, the way they've played over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So I'd probably stay away. I was going to lean Niners, but this is probably a stay away for me. What I'll do is that will be a teaser game for me on Saturday. I'll knock that 6.5 down to like -0.5 and match it up with something on Sunday probably. All right. Those are the three Saturday games. Let's go to the Sunday slate. Sunday, 1 o'clock, two teams playing for nothing. We'll kick it off. The Jaguars go into Atlanta to face the Falcons. Falcons playing better here last several weeks of the season. They are a touchdown favorite against the Jaguars, who had that win in Oakland to give the Raiders a loss in their final home game in Oakland. Falcons -7, total 46.5, Mitch.
Yeah. I think last week we talked about the Jaguars as maybe being the worst team in football, just the way they had not just lost a bunch of games in a row, but been blown out and manhandled and not showed up. And then to see them finally, again, we talked about how it was aided a little bit by the refs in that call at the end, but to see them step up and win a game on the road, you know, I guess that's encouraging to see. They did then fire Tom Coughlin anyway after a win. I guess everyone saw that coming, you know, and probably would have happened after the season, so I guess why not just do it with 2 weeks left? Now, Doug Marrone knows. He's, you know, pretty much everyone knows they're going to be out. I think the coaching staff, I think a lot of the players probably know that they're gone. Atlanta's interesting because I don't know. Are they playing for Dan Quinn to keep his job? I mentioned this on the podcast last week and you guys chuckled a little bit. I said, you know, if they beat San Francisco, they have a decent shot to finish 7-9, which is kind of incredible to think about how far they've come from. Were they 1-5, 1-6? They were, I mean, to see them finish strong, it seems like they're really motivated and they're hot right now. And really, they have that 7-9 in front of them. I don't know if they would decide to keep the coaching staff then or not. But for them, it's their final home game of the year. I think they've been a much better team than Jacksonville the last 6 weeks. 7 feels like a lot, but I'm actually okay with it. I think I'm going to go with Atlanta here.
Gary?
Yeah, I lean Atlanta too for a lot of those same reasons. I do think they're playing for Dan Quinn right now. You wonder if last week was sort of like their Super Bowl going out to Santa Clara and getting that win there. So we'll see about that. Regime change coming in Jacksonville, already underway. You wonder how the team reacts to that. I don't know. You get rid of the front office guy, no one there liked. Maybe that makes everyone freed up a little bit. But lean Atlanta here for me, and not really strong feelings otherwise. I will point out Atlanta 0-7 against the spread against the AFC since the beginning of last season.
And say that one more time.
0-7 against AFC opponents since the beginning of the 2018 year.
Wow. Yeah. I should say, I said, you know, they fired Coughlin after a win. The big story in Jacksonville this week was them fining all of their players into oblivion and the locker room hating it and NFLPA grievances. So it's not like they just decided after a win, let's fire him. Obviously, you know, there are more things going on there, but just, you know.
Yeah, this is a stay away game for me. I have no feel and I have nothing to say about it, and I love the next game, so we'll go on to that. The Ravens giving 10 in Cleveland. The total here is 48.5. Gary.
This was the Browns hammered them in Baltimore.
Yes, they did.
And looking back now, it's like, yeah. I mean, could you ever imagine that? If not for the first matchup, you wonder if this line would be sitting at like plus 14 right now. Look, I like Cleveland here. I don't know if it's just complete implosion coming for them. I mean, you could see the Ravens scoring on their first two or three touchdown drives, and I don't know. I guess now Jarvis Landry is yelling, "Come get me!"
Yes,
I think everyone's sort of asking. I'm like, "Well, is Odell coming with you?" Otherwise, I don't know.
Odell,
man,
said he's staying though.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. But it does feel like it's on the verge of collapse. And I did
it's on the verge of collapse, but you like Cleveland. Getting
I do
the 10.
Like Cleveland. I mean, look. On the road, and again, I don't know. I guess I have to like rewatch that entire game from. I mean, what was that, like week 4 or something like that?
Yeah.
That's when Lamar had that mini slump early in the year. But
that was a lifetime ago.
Yeah. I think that game, I'm pretty sure, was the same week as the Buffalo New England game that week as well.
Yeah, it's wild. I'll throw out this betting system. I actually threw it out a couple weeks ago with the Ravens, and they beat it that time. But I will say, road favorites, point differential of 10 plus per game on the year, coming off a double digit point win, 19-53 against the spread over the last 10 years. It was 18 until the Ravens blew out the Rams on Monday night. So take that for what you will.
And what about last week? The Ravens were on the... No, that game was in Baltimore against the Jets. My bad.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch?
I love Baltimore here. We've seen the Ravens beat good teams and blow out bad teams lately. The big thing here, they can clinch the number one seed and then rest everybody for week 17. And I just think they're going to be so locked in on that. And this is going to be like their last hurrah. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. He doesn't need another signature performance. But I just am envisioning this game as them saying, all right, let's stomp one more team, take care of business, take a week off, get the bye week, come back, hosting a game in the divisional round. I just think they're going to get up early, and that Browns implosion, I could easily see it. I just think there's no reason to think they're not going to win this game by double digits. And I'm just, this is one, don't think about it too much. The Ravens are so much better. They're great, and I think they're going to win easily.
I echo everything Mitch said. I love the Ravens here. I mean, this has got 45-10 written all over it. First of all, the coach says he doesn't care about his future in Cleveland. Nice job, Freddie Kitchens, who could be a one and done. You've got players telling other players during games, come rescue me. The Browns beat the Ravens in Baltimore. Revenge game factor now plays into it. Like Mitch said, Baltimore wins. They lock up home field in the AFC. Rest players next week. This is going to be blowout city for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is not going to get stopped by that defense. And sadly, the big Brown season that we thought could be a positive will just be same old Browns.
And then we get to bet on an RG3 game in week 17. Yes. Let him start instead
there you
of
go. Count. All right. Now, we go to a game that is going to be rough. The Colts giving 6.5 points at home to the Panthers. Total here, 46, Mitch.
Yeah. Jimmy, your Colts, you just needed to score on two possessions last
week.
Just
be somewhat, to just be not inept, basically.
There are so many bad games here. These teams have both, I mean, fallen off so much. The Colts, remember, they were like, they're 5-2, and everyone's talking about them like they're a dynasty in waiting. And they, you know, and I don't want to take credit away from what they've done. They've hit on a lot of draft picks, but everyone's talking about Jacoby Brissett stepping right in and replacing Luck, and they're still contenders anyway. And then they were just embarrassing this week on Monday night. It was like Breeze and his receivers were on the field by themselves, or like, you know, the other side was playing like 7-on-7 and just barely getting in anyone's way. You know, in their defense, I mean, they've lost a lot of guys to injuries, and we know that, but plenty of teams are banged up this time of year, too, though I think they've been hit harder than a lot of other teams. But then, you know, you look at Carolina, and now they're going to Will Greer, who I'll admit I have not seen much of because I'm not a huge college guy. I haven't watched a ton of him. He was at, West Virginia, but I do know I've seen enough of Kyle Allen that I'm fine with them making a switch here. I don't know. I'm just looking at things. Christian McCaffrey, by the way, he needs 186 yards receiving in the last two games to get to 1,000-1,000, and it feels like they are going to do that, and I could easily see them feeding him. And I also think that could be the best thing for a young quarterback instead of, I mean, you know, maybe he wants to get in there and chuck it deep, but I could see them throwing a lot of short stuff and just getting McCaffrey involved. This is probably a stay-away game, but I just think 6.5 is a lot for the Colts, what we've seen from them the last month and a half. So if I have to pick something, I lean Panthers just because might as well take the points. But this is one of several gross games, like you said.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't have a strong lean either way on the side. I think in our set of staff picks on the internet, who did I pick? I'm trying to look it up right now, and that's how little I care about the outcome of this game. Oh, I actually picked Carolina. I agreed with Mitch that that number's a little too big. But the number that's too big, that total's way too big. That total's ridiculous. The whole reason the Panthers are switching to Will Greer is because Kyle Allen was turning it over 7 times every week. And not that Will Greer is immune to turnovers, but they're just not going to let him do anything. So you're going to see them run conservative. Brissett, you know, has basically been, because of the injuries, they've been relegated to basically just play action deep shots, and that's about it with that offense. This game's gonna be played in like the teens. I thought this would be like a 40 or 41 type of total. So I think that total's way too high, and that's really all I have to say about this
game.
I
love when this happens because I like the over.
Yeah?
I respectfully disagree with your analysis. Well, here's my thinking on this. I had the over with the Colts last week. They basically didn't play and didn't show up. They scored 7 points. So I think I don't like jumping off that. I want to go back on it. I think the Colts put up some points. Now you go to the Panthers. And the Panther defense has been god-awful terrible all season long. So I do think the Colts will score points here. The Will Greer thing, I think Mitch hit it on the head. I think you're going to see a lot of Christian McCaffrey as always. And I don't think they're going to go conservative. They're playing for nothing. They're not making the playoffs. They've already fired their coach. Let's see what Will Greer has. Chuck it all over the place and, you know, maybe you get a couple of pick sixes for Baltimore and maybe you get some cheap PIs. And, you know, there's zero reason to go conservative here. This should be, you know, air it out in one of those weird late season games. So I like the over there and disagree with my partner, Gary. Let's see if we can manage more than 5 seconds out of this. I hope we can't. In the most disgusting game of the day, the Dolphins are 1-point favorites at home against the Bengals. Gary?
Oh, yeah. That's I don't know. I like the Bengals. I think the Bengals are still better than the Dolphins. I have thought all year the Dolphins were the basement dweller, the worst team in football.
How about the total here? 47. High, no?
I don't know. I mean, between Dalton and Fitzpatrick, you got to pick six or two in there.
I
just think with Andy Dalton in the lineup, I think the Bengals are a respectable NFL team, a 5-11 type of NFL team if they did that in the entire season. So I do like the Bengals going down there and getting a hard-fought win.
Mitch?
Yeah, Jimmy, I disagree with you. I don't think this is the most disgusting game of the week. We have two NFL quarterbacks who are competent and have been starters for a bunch of years. You know, I think there are uglier ones. This is actually a big, it feels like we've been talking about this game all season because we thought that they were both going to be like 0-14 at this point. I don't want to say I like the Dolphins. I prefer the Dolphins here. they had been playing well until I picked them to win straight up over the Giants last week, and I thought they would win that game. But I think they're a more talented team. I think they're playing harder, and we don't have to talk too much about it. But I'm on the Dolphins side.
Yeah, I think that total's high. I mean, I like the under, but good luck analyzing this one. Next game, the Steelers go into New Jersey to play the Jets. The Steelers are -3. The total is 38. Mitch?
Yeah, it's the Le'Veon Bell revenge game, or possibly the Steelers revenge game, because they might be I'm sure he'll be fired up to show them what they've missed out on, and I'm sure they're going to be fired up to show him, like, hey, we don't need you, and we made the right call, I guess, not paying you and letting you walk away. I don't know. Hard to say who that helps, if this helps anybody, if any of this matters, I don't know. But I would think that the Steelers defense, which has been good this season, especially after that Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, they've had a nice season. I would think that they're going to take a little extra pride in shutting him down. The Jets, we know that they've won 4 of their last 6 and turned around their season after really an awful start. I lean Steelers. I mean, they're the better team. And a lot of times, you guys know I'm never afraid to pick road teams. If the road team's the better team and the spread is only a field goal or less, then a lot of times I just think, don't shy away from it. Don't worry about the points. Just pick the better team and expect that they're going to win by a field goal. The Steelers, this is a huge game from him. I like Brian Burke of ESPN shares his playoff leverage index graphics every week that basically show you how important the games are to every team, like their chance of making the playoffs with a win versus their chance for a loss. So the Eagles-Cowboys game obviously is huge. And this one, the Steelers are at 51%. So basically, a very good chance of getting in with a win, and really slim, like down in the teens percentages if they lose. This is a huge game for them. I think they've probably overachieved given who they've had at quarterback. There's some chatter about Mike Tomlin getting coach of the year consideration, even though I think it's going to have to end up going to somebody who's got one of those top 2 seeds. Maybe John Harbaugh, maybe Shanahan. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But I don't know. I just think the Steelers are a better team. Spread's only 3 points. They need it a lot more. I'll side with them.
Okay.
I like the Jets here quite a bit. Look, they went into Baltimore. They gave a respectable performance last week. It was a short week going on the road against that Ravens defense, shorthanded. Against the Ravens offense, and they hung in there. You take away a missed field goal, fourth down miss, and an interception, and that ends up being a game there. But mostly, I just don't think the Steelers are any good. Yes, you can get turnovers against Sam Darnold, and they're going to have to do that to put up points in this game. But it's Duck Hodges again. It is Jets have been very good against the run this year, and I don't know. I don't think I think the Steelers are going to try and win this game by basically forcing that turnover and getting that. And I think Darnold is good enough at this point in the season, and we saw him finish strong last season, that the Jets are going to, he'll throw a pick or two, but the Jets will also score 2 touchdowns, and the Steelers will not.
Yeah, I like the Steelers here because they're playing for something. And I think when you have a good head coach, which they do, yes, the quarterback could be a problem, but they have a good head coach. They're playing for something. And yes, they're on the road, but they're only laying a field goal, and it's not like the Jets are like this dominating home team where Pittsburgh going on the road is a problem. I love just laying a field goal here. I think the Steelers are the better team, better coach, laying only a field goal. So I like the Steelers. All right. Next game, this is the one good 1 o'clock game. The Saints big Monday night win, going to Tennessee, coming off the loss to the Texans. Saints, field goal favorite, -3. Big total, 51 here in a good game here at 1 o'clock Sunday. Gary.
Yeah, I guess I kind of lean the Saints here. I don't think it's a weather factor game. I do think their defense travels. I don't know. It really just comes down to Tannehill. What do we think of Tannehill at this point? Even if you think Tannehill is good, is he as good as he has been basically since he took over the starter? I guess he had a slight regression last week, but yeah, I don't know. I lean Saints for that reason. I think Tannehill, even if I am going to begrudgingly admit that he might be a good enough starter, I'm just going to – I think he's regressing is what you're going to see down the stretch here.
Mitch?
I think it's fun. We could just pull that audio clip of Gary saying, I guess it comes down to how good do you think Tannehill is, and ask people to guess what year that clip was from. And it could be literally any year. I like what I've seen from him. I like the Titans. I think that – deep down, I would rather see them get that last playoff spot than the Steelers. I think they'd be a more fun teams to see in the tournament, even though I don't think that they're going to get in. I think they really needed to win last week. The Saints are on a short week, only a day, though, you know, because they played Monday night. This feels similar to the last game we just talked about, where I think one team is clearly better and they're a 3-point favorite on the road. The difference, obviously, the Titans are playing for a lot more than the Jets, but a similar situation where it's one of those, you know, I looked at the Saints last week and they looked like a real Super Bowl contender. They just look really good on both sides of the ball when they're playing right. And, you know, they're more talented. The Titans, I think, are a little banged up. Like, Derrick Henry has been awesome and definitely underrated this year, but he's now at the point where he's doing the, I'm never going to practice again the rest of the season, and I'll just be healthy enough to show up in the games, which, you know, I think can work for some period of time, but is not a good strategy or not a sustainable strategy for the whole season when a guy's not right. So I think the Saints are better, and again, only giving up 3 points, I lean that way.
I want to go with the Titans so badly, but you mentioned it. I think Derrick Henry is banged up. I think the hamstring is a problem. And because of that, I gotta lean New Orleans. I think this could have been one of those games where you get so much Derrick Henry, you know, ground and pound it. But is because despite what they did against the Colts last week, the Saint defense is banged up. They've lost two defensive linemen. I think you could have really done something here with Henry, but that injury I think is real. So I lean Saints here, only given the field goal. The way they celebrated all the Breeze stuff, it makes me think they're almost due for a letdown, but I think Breeze is so good they sort of overcome that.
Titans, by the way, they changed kickers this week, so you always keep an eye out for that. As you know, when it's right on the number of three, like that could swing at a point in either direction. So yeah.
When I said that the Bengals Dolphins was the most disgusting game of the week, and Mitch corrected me and said there are others, this might have been one of them. The Redskins giving 2.5 points to the Giants in Washington. The total is 41, Mitch.
Yeah, so the Giants are going back to Daniel Jones here. That's the story. I guess Eli's done, right? I know the conspiracy.
Seemed like that last week when
theorists
are out
there saying
goodbye to him at home. And
yeah, conspiracy theorists saying Daniel Jones, I guess, faked an injury so Eli could come out and have his two games.
I'm not saying that.
Many people are saying.
It's going to be Daniel Jones is going to come out with like a cast because they wanted Eli to go out with a win.
Well, yeah. Between the Garrett Cole fake sign and now Daniel's fake injury, you've got like in New York, it's like these are great conspiracies.
Okay, back to wherever. I don't know how much that helps. I don't know who's better, you know, a slightly hobbled, not 100% Daniel Jones versus Eli Manning at the end of his career. You know, I don't know how much of a difference it makes. I don't know if it helps. The big thing for the Giants, I think, is that Saquon looks better. He had a stretch where he really didn't. I think he rushed back from that injury really quickly because he's, you know, superhuman. And then I think he had one huge game right after he came back, and everyone was like, oh, look, he's fine. But then he did have kind of a rough stretch, but he's looked better. So having him right, that certainly does help. But I don't know. This is one of those games. There are a few games that are just not worth spending much time on. And also, Jimmy, we're talking about ugly games. We're going to get to the next one after this is another brutal one. I'll pick the Redskins. I picked them to win at home in our staff pick 'em. which I guess would actually be bad for them in the long run, because these are two teams that would both benefit from losing and getting better draft positions. So that just feels like the Redskins' move to win the game at home in front of 15,000 fans who are actively rooting for the team to lose and get a better draft pick. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good reason, but give me Washington.
Gary?
I'd just take the points in this one. So I'll go the Giants here. Daniel Jones is just, it's fascinating to him because I think there's a huge overreaction to Daniel Jones turns out is terrible and should the Giants draft a quarterback again this year? I know some outlets are pushing that narrative, which is just absurd. The problem with Daniel Jones is he stands in the pocket for so long. It's the opposite end of the spectrum from a Blaine Gabbert, but he's standing back there for so long that guys are just eventually just coming in and just taking the ball from him, which is something you can coach out of him over the years. But right now, that's the issue with him. So, look, I could see him turning it over four times in this game, and it ends up being a 16-14 Redskins win. But I do think the Giants are better. I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins, and I will go with the Giants in the points.
I like the Redskins. This is going to be a weird sentence, but I like the way they've played lately. They've been better. Play tough in Green Bay. Play tough last week against the Eagles. I think
both of these teams play the Eagles tough.
Yeah, I Redskins at home. If you watch I watched a lot of that Eagle-Redskin game last week because the Eagles were in a teaser as well, and Adrian Peterson is running well still. It's crazy. What was the other game Washington had where Haskins threw a late touchdown to beat the Lions? All right, but they stink, so throw that out there. But I do like the Redskins here. The Giants have burned me all year, and I'm not going to get back on their bandwagon because they blew out, an awful team last week. All right. Yes, another gross game. Actually, that wraps up 1 o'clock, I should say. We will now go to the 4 o'clock games. My bad. 4 o'clock games. And boy, the first one is rough. Broncos at home giving 6.5 to the Lions. The total is 38.5. Drew Lock went into Houston, blew out the Texans, and then in Kansas City, I don't know if you throw that out because of the snow and the blizzard or if there was a regression there. We'll hear what the boys have to say. Gary.
Yeah. We talked a couple weeks ago when Ron Rivera got fired and you sort of say does this galvanize the team? And we sort of decided the Panthers probably pretty bummed that Ron Rivera got fired and therefore, you're seeing them slide back a little bit. The announcement that Matt Patricia is being retained was probably equally deflating to the Lions locker room. You hear it from guys who have left there. It's just not a good situation in that locker room. So, on top of that, it's not like they were playing well anyway. They're going out. No matter what quarterback they play, they get lit up. I think Dwayne Haskins is the only guy they even relatively held in check, which, I guess you could put that pelt up on your wall and be proud. But they have been the worst defense in football by a pretty wide margin. We saw Drew Lock light up the Texans. Obviously, you can't feel too confident in him because he's had two shaky performances otherwise, including at home against the Chargers in his first start, but I could easily see Drew Lock thrown for 320 in this game and the Broncos scoring 27 points and David Blough puts up, he's a good fella,
David Blough,
but puts up 13 points and that's it. So I do like the Broncos here for those reasons.
Mitch?
Yeah, that's interesting what you say about the coaching staff. I don't know. I mean, they announced the GMs there. I think a lot of guys, a lot of these guys probably would be happy to be playing somewhere else on a different team. But a lot of them, on the roster just want to have jobs in the NFL also. And so I think a lot, no, I'm not in a bad way. I think that you're laughing. I'm being serious about a lot of guys across the league who are at the lower end of the depth chart on a lot of teams. And so for them, it's They know it's going to be the same GM. They know it's going to be the same coach. You know, if there's a question if they're going to be in the league, they're going to want to put something good on tape and have the coaching staff like them and appreciate them and want them to come. It's, you know, everyone always says, well, it's a chance to put something on tape and everyone's going to see it. But it is a little different when you know that your current coach is going to be the coach again next season and is going to be breaking this down. That's, I think, some motivation to...
No, I just like the thought of that being like Matt Patricia's like pregame speech on Sunday. Like, listen, guys, let's all be really thankful that we play in the NFL.
Yeah, some of these guys probably should be, I think, on this team and other teams. Yeah, but, you know, 6.5 is a lot of points. I'm going to take the points. And we can move on. Jimmy.
The Lions have been so gross over the last few weeks. They are rough to watch. I have no, I'm 6.5 with Drew Locke. Maybe throw out the snow game last week and you say Houston was more Drew Locke and you lean Broncos there. That's really, I can't come up with a reason to lean Detroit. So I guess I'd lean Broncos, but I would not go near it. Next game, the Chargers are giving a touchdown at home to the Raiders. The total is 46, Mitch.
The Raiders have now lost four straight. Again, we talked about this last week. We talked about it earlier, that game against the Jaguars. You would think if they were ever motivated to step up and win a game, it would be last week with the closing of the black hole on their last game there. And then they seemingly did enough to win the game, and then it still wasn't enough because of the end there. Chargers now, by the way, they're playing their last game in their lovely little soccer stadium. I don't know if they feel any attachment to it. They've had no home field advantage all the years that they've been there, but it is their last home game there. But I think the Chargers are cooked. I think they have been for a while. I think now the narrative around that team, early in the season, the whole narrative was just about the running backs, and Melvin Gordon was holding out, and Austin Ekeler was really good, and then Gordon came back, and it was like, well, should we be playing him, or should we just, you know, keep Ekeler as the focus? And I think now the second half of the season, all of the narrative around them is about Phillip Rivers and whether his arm is shot, whether he should be back next year, whether he will be back. It just feels like this season is ending in a trending downward for them. Josh Jacobs is out, which is a concern for me, but I just think, you know, getting 7 on the road in a stadium where there really isn't any home advantage, probably there will be a lot of Raiders fans there in Southern California, but I could see this being a close game going either way, so I'll take the Raiders and the points.
Gary?
Yeah, I kind of like the Raiders here, too. I was thinking, there's that report today that, like, Derek Carr was, like, getting booed and pelted by stuff on the way out of the stadium.
If I was there, I would have booed and pelted, too, with the Raiders in a teaser.
I was going to say, they're going to play in the Chargers soccer stadium. There's going to be a ton of Raiders fans there, and all I could picture is the Raiders losing in similar fashion and Derek Carr getting booed and pelted with
phenomenal
stuff again, because poor Derek Carr can't catch a break this year. But, I division opponents, I think the Raiders can hang around in this one. Don't really feel that strongly about it, though. But please, if you're going to this game, if you're one of the four people going to this game, don't boo or pelt Derek Carr with stuff, because he's had a rough couple days.
Be nice.
It's the holidays.
I like the over. They're both out of it. They're both weird, freaky teams. Usually those lead to overs. That's my analysis. Really hard-hitting nuts and bolts there. All right, best game of the day, even though, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing that we're fighting for a division at 8-8. The Cowboys and Eagles face off in Philadelphia. The Cowboys, 2-point favorites on the road here. Total 46.5, Gary.
I like the Cowboys a lot. I really do. I just think the Eagles, I mean, look, Carson Wentz deserves some sort of, I don't know, trophy or certificate or something to reward him for what he's done with the receiving corps they've rolled out for the past couple of months here. But, I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is just a constant string of mistakes every time he's on the field. Greg Ward's their only receiver right now. He's a fourth or fifth receiver on most teams. I just don't know how they are going to put up points against this Cowboys team. They can make it ugly, but we've also seen over the years, maybe it's a weird weather night or something like that. Maybe that's what keeps the Eagles in this. But we've seen these Eagles corners get torched a little bit. We know the Cowboys are capable of putting up points when Jason Garrett doesn't want to punt on third down or whatever he does. But division rivals on the road. I never feel great about taking a road favorite, but I do just really like the Cowboys here. I'm sorry, Mitch.
Mitch.
That's okay. Yeah, so I have to give the obvious disclaimer that I am an Eagles fan here, but I think I've been objective. I've picked against the Eagles enough times on this podcast. I actually haven't been keeping track. I would guess that at some point this season I've picked against the Eagles.
Well, we'll stick with it and trust people won't audit this.
thanks, people. The last 2 weeks have been interesting where the Eagles, you know, have not looked good and they've let bad teams hang around. It took fourth quarter comebacks to beat the Giants and Redskins, took overtime against the Giants. But at the same time, and again, I think I said this about the Texans earlier today. Sometimes, you know, you win a game like that and it's still a good sign just to find a way to win. And, you know, Gary, you talked about all the problems with the Eagles and Miles Sanders really has been their best wide receiver. But sometimes, you know, in a game like that, your back's against the wall in that kind of situation. You find out who you can trust, who you can't. Greg Ward, again, not going to set the world on fire. I'm not saying he should be a number one or a number two receiver on a good playoff team in most cases, but at least, you know, Wentz isn't throwing the ball to Mac Hollins, and he's, you know, Jordan Matthews, who they brought back three times, and he's sort of figuring out who's reliable there. But really, I mean, the story of the game is going to be Dak and how healthy he is, and everyone's concerned about his shoulder. He was a limited participant in practice this week for literally the first time in his entire career, which is interesting. You know, we talked all season about how the way to beat the Eagles is by throwing the ball, and I think their defense against the run has been pretty good. You know, I'd think that they can contain Zeke, and the question is, can Dak throw the ball deep and beat up that secondary, which is the recipe to, you know, to take advantage of the Eagles' defense. And if his shoulder's no good, then that's going to be really hard for him. I think Amari Cooper has not been the same. I don't know if he's what kind of injuries he's dealing with or what, you know, you want to make a percentage what he is. But I think a lot of it, we know what a difference he makes on that offense. We saw it in the second half last year. You know, we saw it as he's been hurt. So it's really, you know, is Dak healthy enough? Is he going to get the ball to Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup and win the game that way? So I don't know. I'm worried about him if he's not 100%. Again, I know I'm the homer here, but I'm getting points at home. I like the way the Eagles found a way to win two in a row, and I think they can keep it rolling.
We're going long here, so I'll make it quick. I like the Cowboys too. I've said every week on this podcast, I don't like what I've seen from the Eagles every week. They've done nothing to change my mind. Lack of weapons. The Wentz turnovers, the fumble. There was a stat in that Redskin game about he has like 44 fumbles since whatever year it was, most in the NFL. I just think, again, what I said before, you overanalyze things, you look at, I just think the Cowboys are the better team here. I just think they're the better team, and you're only laying two. I don't, you know, on the road, yes, but you're under a field goal, so I like the Cowboys. The last 4 o'clock game, Seahawks at home giving 9.5 to the Arizona Cardinals. The total is 50.5, Mitch.
Yeah, I think that's too many points. I know Gary talks every week about the Seahawks point differential, and you know they're a really good team. They're only plus 26 on the season. Everyone thinks of that as a great home field advantage in Seattle. They're 4-2 there this year. The Cardinals had struggled a few weeks, and then I thought they really got right last week with that a game that surprised me against Cleveland. So there's no question in my mind I think Seattle's going to win, but I just think they're giving up too many points. I could see them going up 13 or 14 early and giving up a score, but they just haven't been that type of team to blow people out this season. I saw Seattle actually has only one double-digit win all season, and that was against, drumroll please, these same Arizona Cardinals, 27-10 win in week 4.
That was very early, yeah.
But that's a long time ago. I like Seattle to win the game, but it's just too many points, so give me the Cardinals.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm in complete lockstep with Mitch on that one, including that stat about beating the Cardinals by 17. They get all these fumble recoveries. They've been an outlier in red zone performance. And a plus 26 on the year just doesn't add up to a great football team. So I like the Cardinals sticking around in this one.
Yeah, I'm 3-for-3, so be careful. I like the Cardinals a lot here, too. The one thing that saved me from a complete disaster last Sunday with the Raider debacle there, thank you, Derek Carr, for not knowing how to slide inbounds and stopping the clock and the refs screwing me, was the Cardinals money line against the Browns. And they were one of my best bets last week against Cleveland. Arizona, they hang in there. They're not losing by double digits in this game, I don't think. So I make it 3-for-3. I like Arizona. Prime time, Sunday night. The Bears and Mitch Trubisky once again get the spotlight. It's amazing. They've had this is probably like their eighth primetime game, it seems like.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah. He's going to be, I don't know, he's going to be changing his name after this one, I have a feeling. They're at home with the explosive Chiefs coming to town. KC minus six, total 44.5, Gary.
I was going to say, will Ryan Pace feel any regret as he watches the two quarterbacks he could have had here? But, you know, I kind of lean Bears here just because games at Soldier Field are always so ugly. People around the league always say they keep the grass long, it's a slow track. I think there's enough there for the Bears to keep this a one-possession game and sort of just make it ugly enough to cover the spread here. But obviously you can't feel great about it, and I do think the Chiefs are getting right at the right part of the season at this point. So we'll see.
So you like Chicago is your lean?
Lean Chicago, but I want to emphasize the lean.
Gotcha.
Here.
Mitch?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. They're so good on offense when everybody's healthy and they're clicking, and it took a long time for us to see both Mahomes and Tyreek Hill healthy and in the lineup together, and it just feels like that offense is clicking. You know, we talked about the game in the snow last week and how the Broncos only scored 3 points. You know, they looked good at times. I think they only scored 23, I think, but yeah. I think they are just too talented, and they're starting to click on offense, and I just can't see the Bears scoring enough points to keep up. And so, you know, for me, it's just as simple as that. I just think the Chiefs have a lot more to play for. They're a better team, and I think they can win the game by a touchdown.
Yeah, I love the Chiefs here. I've said this many, many weeks in a row now. The Chief defense has turned it around. They're playing well. They're not the liability they were. And now they get to face Trubisky, which is a nice gift for them. I just don't see how the Bears keep up with that offense in this one here, and you're laying less than a touchdown. I said it last week. Lamar Jackson gets all the attention, rightfully so. Patrick Mahomes is playing as good as you could possibly play. I love the Chiefs here, minus six. Last game, Monday night, big one. A lot on the line. The Vikings, still 4.5-point favorites over the Packers. No Dalvin Cook, but that really hasn't affected the line yet. Vikings minus 4.5, total against the Packers, 45.5, Mitch.
Yeah, so it's primetime Kirk Cousins. Of course, we love talking about the narratives and the things that people are going to talk about all week. Not just that, Dalvin Cook is out. I don't think he's been ruled out. I think everyone just assumes that he's going to be out. He might be ruled out by the time people hear this.
Keep talking and I'll
look. But anyway, Dalvin Cook will probably be out. Alexander Mattison might be out. But I like Minnesota here. I think Minnesota is the most underrated team in the NFC. I like their defense. I like their offense. It just has seemed to me all season like people made up their mind about them very early. Maybe last season they made up their mind, or early this year when the wide receivers were all complaining about not getting the ball and Cousins not doing enough. I think they've been a really good team since then. And, you know, Green Bay, this is obviously both teams want to win and you're worried about seeding. The NFC is so tight. It's not a game that Green Bay has to win. They can still win the division just by beating Detroit in week 17. Obviously, it still matters to everybody. But I don't know. I like the Vikings. They're 6-0 at home. Thielen played last week, didn't do much, but he's at least, you know, he's back in the lineup. He's a week farther away from the injury, so you'd think he's a week healthier. I don't know. I'm excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be a great one to see, and it's probably a stay away, but I think if I have to pick a side, I lean toward the Vikings.
Yeah, Ian Rapoport an hour ago, unlikely to play for Dalvin Cook, but not officially ruled out, Gary.
I'll just lean Packers here just because I think this is going to be a back and forth, come down to the last possession type of game. And, you know, if it was a 3-point spread, I think that would be interesting. But pushing it past a field goal and past that sort of touchdown versus a field goal spread, slight Packers lean, but not crazy about it.
Yeah, I think you got to take the points here. You know, especially without Dalvin Cook, he's such a weapon and does so much. I think with Aaron Rodgers in a big game Monday night, you got to take the 4.5. It's just too many points, I think. So I do lean Packers there plus the points. All right, that is the slate for week 16. We will give you our best bets. Before we do, let me just tell you, we will have our regular episode next Friday, 2 days after Christmas, and we'll be here on the Friday after that, 2 days after New Year. So regular schedule for us. Nothing will change over the holidays. Now let's get to the week 16 best bets. Mitch, what do you got?
All right. I've got 4. I have 2 on Saturday and then 2 in that gross 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. And then I'll take the afternoon and evenings off to, I guess, just enjoy watching the games. Or probably Eagles-Cowboys. I'm not going to enjoy watching that. I'm just going to, you know, be focused on it and watching it. Anyway, that's enough stalling. My picks on Saturday, I'm going to take that Bucks-Texans over 50. And then I'm going to take the Bills plus 6.5 in New England. On Sunday, I like that Baltimore minus 10 at Cleveland and the Saints minus 3 at Tennessee.
Gary, best bets?
Oh, I got 4. I'm going to go San Francisco. We had about minus 6, right, against the Rams?
Blah, 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 blah.
Do we have the half?
Yeah, 6.5.
Oh, 6.5. I'll still do it. Yeah. I'll take Niners minus 6.5. And then on Sunday, I got the... Going to go Jets. Going to go Jets plus 3 at home against the Steelers. Going to go Cowboys minus 2 at Philadelphia. And I will take that under 46 in Panthers Colts as Jimmy and I go. We need some sort of drop, like head to head.
I'm not doing that, but it's we didn't plan this, but I have 4 as well. So all 3 of us with 4 best bets. I'm with Mitch, Ravens minus 10. Nice, easy blowout on Sunday. I like the over 46 with the Raiders and Chargers. Arizona plus the 9.5 in Seattle. And the Chiefs minus 6 in Chicago. So I like a lot of the later, 3 of the later games there on Sunday. All right, like I said, we will be here next Friday. Good luck to you in week 16. Merry Christmas for all those out there celebrating on Wednesday. Have a happy Merry, and we'll see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.